You got to be stable in everything of God. Once people are living, then things started happening to their heart that they didn't want. They allowed a darkness in their heart. That's what any leaven of Satan will do. And it will start subtracting from you. It will take your zeal away. It'll take your desire to know God away. It'll take your desire to please man. It'll increase your desire to please man. Now, one time the Lord told me this. This is how Satan get one over on people. Before I tell you that part, I'm going to tell you this. There are three avenues the enemy enters a person's life. Their weaknesses, their hurts, and their fears. So keep that in mind. Your weaknesses, hurts, and fears. This is where you're going to have to fortify yourself. If you have a known weakness, fortify. Start speaking. I told a man one time, he said, I have a problem with lust. I said, God will make that your strong point. But you got to follow him. So some people have a problem, you know, a weakness of other things. Drinking, sometimes drugs, sometimes eating too much. Destroy the weakness. Fortify against it. Use the word on it. Now, I do it I like doing it the powerful, easy way. The powerful, easy way. I was known to eat too much sugar. And the people I worked with in Bessemer could tell you that I love donuts. One time, they used to go to the school and buy them big. They had the best cinnamon rolls in the world at the Bessemer Elementary School. And sometime on lunch, the guys would go there and buy a box of them and bring them back. And so somebody went and bought some, and Witherspoon had one, and Wes said, watch this, give him that, when he eat it, he gonna start dancing. And I had just ate lunch, I didn't really want that. So they offered it to me, I didn't want that. I said, nah, I'm all right. They went around to the front of the building, and they said, man, go on, take this center, I don't need it. I went and I ate and I started dancing. And they started laughing at me. He said, I told you he was going to start dancing. So I love to eat sweets, especially on big old cinnamon rolls. Now, but when I got about 45, I'm 58 now, or 48, somewhere in the mid to late 40s, I said, I better slow down on this sugar problem before I don't want to become a diabetic. My dad was, and I didn't want to go down that road. So I said, I need to change my habit system here. I thought about those Charles Capps confessions. Charles Capps did an excellent job teaching people how to confess faith. And we all need to hear him on it. We need it. Everybody need to speak faith only and not doubt. Nevertheless, just imagine how our lives would be if we spoke in sequence, in unison, in a yielded way to the Father. We speak the Father's will over all of our lives. All forms of healing will come to our marriages, the wisdom it takes to raise our children right, the wisdom it takes for ministry. If you speak, I love the wisdom of God. I love the love of God. I love the holiness of God. And I will not deviate. If you can confess anything you need to confess. I hate darkness in every form. Start with the weaknesses. So I wanted a way to eat right, eat better, so that I carry an anointing, and I want to carry this anointing a long time. And I don't want to be in a wheelchair, and I don't want to be sticking myself with needles. So I was motivated. And I thought of the easiest way to do this. I said, I crave what I need the most. And the things that's hurting me, I reject. I have no taste for it anymore. Now that works. I found myself desiring more vegetables, eating more fish, eating better. Not just any old thing. And you know how people have those birthday cakes and you go to the store, them store-bought birthday cakes? That's sugar. And it's made out of the most cheap materials. If I'm going to eat a cake, I want it made out of real butter, real flour, real sugar. If I'm going to eat sweet, I want it real. I don't want this stuff people have concocted. So some of the things you eliminate can really put you forward. So you don't need all those lawyer medicines. And the reason I say lawyer medicines, you see the commercial for the medicine, then that go off, then a lawyer commercial come on if you bought and took that medicine. So we don't want that either. So I was motivated. I crave what I need the most. So that the things that I would have been weak to is it don't matter anymore. And it goes for everything. So when you're doing things God's way, all these things are possible. Hurts. When it comes to hurts, weaknesses, hurts, and fears, forgive people and pray for people that have hurt you the most. Black people were slaves 120 years ago, 110 years ago. And so I thought about how, that's an aggravating thing to think about, that your people were once slaves. So what I did, I said, I forgive the Hambys, the Griffins, people that, the Knolls. I'm talking about the slave masters. And that pleased God. I started with my enemies. And then, the average black person in real, they have no love for the Klan. But guess what? The Ku Klux Klan are people. And I say, I forgive the Klan. Well, they don't like you. Well, they're people. And I love them just like Jesus loved me. There was one friend of mine. He's a mechanic. And this guy that was in the Klan helped him out. He said, you can learn anything you want to learn. And he saw the man's ring. He could tell he was a Klan member by the ring. But he gave him good advice that helped him. So people, you got to look at people. They're people God loves. And there are factions. There are people that think wrong, that may not like you, but love them anyway. Because sometimes the enemy tries to get people off track while they're weak. And they need people that are strong to love them and bring them back to balance. See, I don't hate people. There's not a person on this earth that I hate. And anybody that I meet, even the people that have known that, a person that I know don't like me. If I had met Hitler, I'd have tried to win him to Jesus if I could. So why would you do that? Because that's how God is. Now, some people, their conscience is seared with a hot iron, and you can't reach them. I understand that. But I don't have to hate the person. God told, what was her name? Tin Boom. Had her to forgive the Nazis. I forgot her first name. That's a shame. But this hero was told by God to forgive the Nazis that harassed and murdered her people. And she did. Now, moving on. So forgiveness is very important. You can't give Satan anything to go on. He enters our lives through our weaknesses, hurts, and fears. So people that don't forgive, they still have those old wounds. They like a wound. The scab heals up and somebody comes snatch it off. They don't forgive. And they still carry wounds. But when you forgive people, you stop fearing people. People that's been raped and hurt. And you forgive the people that the oppressors. Forgive them. And God will give them justice. You just forgive them and pray for their soul. And a healing happens for you. That's how it works. And Satan don't have anything to aggravate you with. It works. The other thing was fears. Now, when I was a teenager, I'm not even saved yet. I said, I'm not living by fear. If something bothers me, I'm going to fight. I don't care what it is. That was just a decision I made. And I didn't like horror movies. And one day I went and slept downstairs in the basement where it was dark. My parents were in Utah, Alabama. I stayed home with my older sisters. I'm a teenager now. I went and made me a bed. I got me a blanket and everything and slept on the couch in the dark. I faced things that would have made me afraid. And guess what? I woke up the next day refreshed. Fear is something that you choose to do. And Satan always attacks people through fear. So you can't have fear. You don't have to fear rejection. Now, I'm going to get to what I was going to say a few minutes ago. This is how Satan does population control. He tempts people inwardly as a person to fear what society believes collectively. And that's how he leavens people and get away with things like abortion. Everybody knows it's wrong, it's sin, because it is sin. But since everybody's doing it, I won't have an opinion. No, it's murder. It's murder. It's murder for convenience. That's what it is. Murder for convenience. I'd rather have convenience, so I'll just eliminate this child that a woman slept around outside of her marriage, and she's trying to hide her sin. So she killed this child. Or I just don't have time for children anymore. I'm going to kill this child. And the scientists and the communist propaganda university scholars, that's just tissue. Well, guess what? You was just tissue too. You who say that was just a fetus. A fetus is a baby. And a sperm and an egg together is a living soul. And a fetus has a living soul. But see, Satan say, once you get a little leaven going, then he's got controls over your life. So when it's time for you to go to the next glory, he tug on your ropes. He tug on your, they swallowed the hook. I gave that example a few weeks ago. Sometimes the people don't enter into the next glory because they've been leavened. But see, Jesus wasn't leavened, was he? Satan left him with Satan had no advantage when he walked away from Jesus. And he had no advantage after that. Now, before we close, let's look at John chapter 14. I think it's 14 anyway. See, a lot of times people have become leavened. And that's what holds things up. The Lord wants to do many great things in their lives. And he can't because they've allowed leaven in their lives. And they choose not to follow God somewhere where he's going. They choose not to go forward. They choose to stay where they're at. They choose not to go to the next glory. Because they fear what people will think. Elder Lewis, he took what was coming. He didn't care. He said, this is right and I'm doing it. He released the women that were called to the ministry, knowing that he might get ousted. Consider these things. It's important. Jesus continually did the Father's business. He went about doing good. He spoke the things of God. He spent time, even after doing great miracles, he went and spent time with the Father. He made all of his decisions according to the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the holiness of God. And he told his disciples just before he left. He said that Satan, he has nothing in me. And that was a true statement. See, everything that Jesus said, there was a lot of things that he taught his disciples just before he left. Between verses 13 all the way to verse 17, the end of verse 17, he taught them many things that they needed. And we need to understand how the kingdom of God works. But in verse 30, St. John 14, verse 30, he said, verse 29 says, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe." Hereafter will I not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. You see that? Jesus, there was no darkness in Jesus. That's why we can speak in the name of Jesus. See, Jesus lived a sinless life. Satan had no place in his life, period. So when Satan tried to tempt him, it wouldn't work. When he tried to work against him, that wouldn't work either. When they tried to trap him, see, he never relied on his own wit. He yielded to the Father, and the Father gave him what to say. And he even told his disciples, when you're thrown in courts, don't say anything. The Holy Ghost will give you what to say. This is protocol. But sometimes people, they end up losing the court case, going to jail, because they talked too much. They spoke without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it caused them to be in trouble that they didn't have to be in. The Lord told me, the biggest problem is my people don't follow me. Why would they do that? People get afraid and make a decision. See, let me tell you something. And I'm not trying to be better than anybody. I'm just sharing something that God helped me understand along throughout the years. It took me a long time to this is what he pointed out to me. This is what's necessary. See, you already have what you need. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. But the Lord will guide you. When they gave Jesus those hard questions, brought the woman that had been caught in adultery, he didn't speak out of his own mind. He yielded to the Father. And the Father told him what to say. People don't know that. He spent time with his Father. He probably knew they were coming. And he probably already knew what to say before they came and what to do. He wrote on the ground. The Lord gave him what to do. Whatever he did, he got it from the Holy Spirit, who's hovering over the earth, who's moving over the earth, scouting, fishing for people he can show himself strong on their behalf. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. He's going to do his part. You got to do yours. See, we have the authority here. But first of all, we can't be contaminated with the thoughts of the enemy. That's where the word comes in. Jesus said in chapter 15, now you are clean because of the word. And they are. They're clean because of the word. The word will purify us. He said in verse 3, 15 and 3. John 15, 3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And Jesus, he never sinned before, but he still yielded to the Father. That's where you're powerful. Now, the enemy, he's trying to get you to reason from this realm. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I lost a lot of battles. I lost I lost a lot of blessings because I tried to figure out how God was going to do it. If I had a pain, I tried to figure out how he was going to help me. If I had when I started reasoning in this realm, that's where I lost. Why? Because the devil's smarter than me. If he can get me to reason, all he got to do is get some doubt in my heart, and then my faith won't work. And I have real faith. Every believer has real faith. But if he can get you in his fear realm, if he can get you to real reason from this realm where fear is, or this realm where the hurts are, or this realm where the weaknesses are, you're disconnected. You're not asking the Lord and trusting him. You're not seeking the Lord. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our eyes need to be on Jesus, because Jesus said something else in St. John 15, and so many wonderful people read over it. He said, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, no more can ye except you abide in me. Live in him. Then he said in verse 5, I am the vine. I'm the life source. The vine is the life source, right? You are the branches. The life source goes through the branches because of the vine. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now watch this phrase. This is the part people read over. For without me you can do nothing. But when the life of God is being spoken through your mouth, when you're yielded to the life of God, you're yielded to the Father, you're hearing his word, you're seeing what he does, you're regarding what Jesus did, you're getting instruction by the Holy Ghost. So under pain and pressure, you don't go look at what's causing it, you go to Jesus. You regard the Holy Spirit, and he's got you connected to the life of God. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. We receive his life and speak it. Those Charles Capps confessions, those are really Jesus' confessions. But see, he's the vessel God used to bring it. That alerts people to where, if you want to know how to confess faith, you need to listen to Charles Capps. I know he went on to be with the Lord, but thank God for modern technology. We got YouTube. He's still on TV in some places. And you can still hear what I heard that put me on. And it works. Those confessions works. They work. So I'm going to confess whatever the Holy Spirit give me. I'm going to speak that. I don't have to reason and wonder about it. I don't have to operate from this realm. I operate from heaven. Because the Holy Spirit supplies me with the life of God, just like he did for Jesus. So before you have to live unleavened. If you can live unleavened and speak the life of God, you're unstoppable. And you're in covenant. You're covenant appropriate and unstoppable at the same time. So, as we receive what God is saying, we have the same protocol of Jesus. Jesus told us not to try to reason it out ourselves. We look to him. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, that's what you will to be done. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What is the fruit? We can do things from our mind. We can make decisions. The guy's not talking about that. He's talking about bearing fruit. When it comes to ministry things, when it comes to bearing fruit, when it comes to bringing the life of God in this realm, wherever it is needed, that's fruit. Jesus bore fruit. He represented God. That's the fruit that he bore. We bear fruit. We don't bear branches. I thank Brother Ray for saying that. The Holy Ghost gave that to us through Ray Wilson, when Sunday school lesson. We're not designed to bear branches. We're designed to bear fruit. We represent the life of God. We let our light shine. We're the salt of the earth, light of the world. We get that kind of knowledge from God. The anointing is fruit. What we do under the anointing is fruit. Our actions of love is fruit. Our actions of wisdom is also fruit. The holiness, the righteousness that we walk in by the love of God is fruit. That's bearing fruit. And without Jesus, we can't do it. Even though we're washed in the blood, we have to pay attention to him. We have to yield our lives to him. When I gave people those personal words in 91, when I first started, I didn't know all these things. I was just yielding to the Lord, speaking what God gave me. That's bearing fruit. I yielded and I spoke. And it was appropriate. It was covenant appropriate speech. So when I preach, I do this. I'm doing that now. I'm bearing fruit. Now I consider these things. Get rid of every leaven impurity. Everything that's leaven and impurity, get rid of it. Don't worry about what you look like and how you seem to others. You don't need anything from anyone. You need to love everyone. And if they love you, that's a bonus. If they help you, that's a bonus. But do it God's way, and you will always succeed. Even if you suffer loss because you did the right thing, like Elder Lewis did. He was promoted. Whether He may have lost the church, got ousted, but he was promoted anyway because he did it God's way. He still left a legacy. Now, when you get ousted because you did the right thing, that's promotion, whether it looks like it or not. Think about it. Paul went to jail, but he wrote the word of God while he was in there. So he got promoted. John got put in boiling oil on the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote Revelation. He got promoted. When you do what's right, they can't stop. The only thing that can stop the move of God in your life is you. If you decide, when the moment you decide, I got this, and you don't do what God is prompting you to do, you don't want to stop it. Not Satan. He's involved. But we make the choice of whether we're going to stop or not. Consider these things. Be unstoppable. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll give you more revelation than this. I can only go so far, but he's unlimited. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. He will fill you continually.